to welcome you to Little Sortara. How are we all doing this morning? Anyone excited for baptisms this afternoon at 2 p.m.? Siler's Pond. That wasn't very exciting to me, was it? Let's try that again. Is anyone excited for baptisms this afternoon at 2 p.m.? All right. Woo! Yeah. Let's gather around Siler's Pond. If you don't know where that is, just ask anybody and they'll give you the directions to Airport Road. We have five individuals being baptized today. Maya Bixler, and we have Katie Light, and we have Lauren Bryant, and we have Enos and Roxanne Lump. So they'll be entering the baptismal waters, and we would love to have as many people as possible join together with us and just encourage them as they take this step of faith. We also just want to highlight, you have your bulletins in front of you. So I've had coffee this morning, so I'm talking a little bit fast, but you'll be able to find all the information right here in the bulletin. So we want to say the senior choir will begin its practices on Thursday, September 7th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. So anyone who enjoys singing, we would love to pack the choir loft up here. So come on out on Thursday, September 7th at 7 p.m. for choir practice. We also just want to highlight it is the handbell choir reinstatement time, and we'd like to have as many people interested in helping out with that to contact Mark Myers, and we'd love to get the handbell choir active again. So just drop him a note in his mailbox, which you see in the bulletin is number 174, and just let him know, you know, what practice time works for you, maybe a Wednesday evening or maybe a Sunday after church. So let's try to get that bell choir going again, and I'm even going to try it. So if I can try it, I think anyone can try it. All right, so it's chow chow time. Anyone like chow chow? Okay. It's chow chow time, and we need vegetables from your garden. Is anyone still getting vegetables? You're still getting vegetables? We got our last tomatoes. I think our tomatoes are done for now, but bring jars to be filled to the ladies' aid room with your name taped on the jar, and then they'll be glad to have anyone help cut and can those veggies on September 20th and 27th at 8 a.m. So there is an order form sheet in the narthex, and just place your order on the narthex sheet for Chow Chow. And Kobe's is coming up. If you would like to participate, they do ask for sponsorships, and the youth have been doing great over the past few years. First place with the number of dollars raised, so encourage you to support our youth and support one another as we support Kobe's. And that is on Sunday, September 10th, the 21st annual event. And you can ride a bike, you can hike, you can go for a motorcycle ride, so be sure to sign up, and there's also a silent auction afterwards. Or if you just want to send a donation straight to Kobe's, the address is here in your bulletin as well. Today's the last day. Everyone say last day. For the sub sale. So if you haven't ordered your subs, be sure to add your order to the list on the narthex table, and September 7th is the pickup time. There's plenty of other announcements here in the bulletin, but I'd like to give you the opportunity. Does anyone have any other announcements they'd like to highlight? It's good to see everyone this morning. Why don't we rise, greet one another, and then we'll open with our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance, number 332. So please greet one another and welcome each other to the fellowship. It's good to be here.
Hymn number 332.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation.
a microphone coming around, just slip your hand up in the air and we'd be glad to hear of your joy or concern to share with your church family this morning. Teachers here this morning, or any students that are here this morning, we just encourage you to, if you're willing, to stand, and those around them, if you could just kind of put a hand, laying on of hands of those individuals. We know the school year can be a time of anxiety for students, and I'm sure teachers are a little bit nervous too, and they want to be a witness as they go to their classrooms. But if any teachers or students are here, if they don't want to stand, you know who they are, and just reach your hand out towards them. Let's just have a special prayer for them during this time, and then we'll enter into our pastoral prayer. So any teachers or students that are willing to stand, we'd invite you to do so now. And thank you so much for what you do. And students, thank you for shining your light in the world. And any students, preschool, college, high school, junior high, yes, all right. Let's lay on hands and pray for them. Father God, we know that you have a purpose for each of us. We know, Father, as students, the anxiety is starting to build up as we're heading back to college or we're heading back to school or we're starting school for the very first time. And we know, Father God, that you bring us peace and we're just asking for peace upon these students. You know the studies that are ahead of them. You know the new friends that they'll make and you know the friends they'll reconnect with. And we know, Father, how difficult it can be to shine your light in schools that sometimes have much darkness. So we're asking, Father, for these students that you would just cover them with your grace and your love and your mercy and just give them compassion and just let them be willing to just shine their lights and show love in very real ways. And we just lift up our teachers. We thank you so much for every teacher that is here this morning, and we just pray that you would guide them this school year. You know the situations already that they're going to face with students, with other faculty, with the events that they lead, and we just pray for teachers, for guidance counselors, for principals, for all those involved in administration as part of our schools and our colleges and our preschools, and we just lift them up in a very special way this morning and ask that you would use them and allow them to shine your light in the way only they can as teachers. And we just ask your blessings upon them as they start a new school year and begin the activities that they lead. And we just thank you for each of them. And now, Father, we just come before you and just thank you for your love and your compassion that's poured out upon us. And we just lift up those on our prayer concerns, on our hearts right now. You know exactly the people we are thinking of, and they may have been spoken or may not have been spoken, but we especially want to lift up comfort for those that have lost loved ones. And we think of the Zachary Swartz family, and we think of the family of Patty, and just ask that you would bless them, Father, with your comfort, with your peace. We think, Father, of those that are dealing with illnesses and are going through different tests and are encountering procedures and the unknown. And we know, Father, that you are the master physician, and we're just praying your special, complete healing touch, if it be your will, over Lauren and over Carol's granddaughter, and continue to heal Noah and bring him back to full health. And many on our prayer concerns, Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Grace and Carol and Pete and Eugene and Mary and Eric and Dorothy and Jean and Ruth and Harvey. And we just pray for those on our hearts now, Lord, that you would just allow your touch to be upon them. We thank you, Father, for loving us and for forgiving us. And we know that we make mistakes, we sin. And so we just come before you now in silent prayer and confess those sins and ask that you would lead us, you would guide us away from those sins, and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. God, you are good, and we thank you for the way that you move in and through our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us. We thank you, Father, for friends that encourage and uplift us. We thank you for this church family, and we thank you for those that may be here for the first time and just ask your blessings upon them. You know precisely what they're dealing with right now in this very moment, and we just pray you would meet them where they are and just allow your love to pour out, to flow through them, that they would unmistakably know your presence. We thank you, God, for just allowing us to gather in safety. We know many around the world are gathering and being persecuted, and we lift up our EYN brothers and sisters and just ask your special touch upon them of protection. And we just thank you, Lord, for walking with us through this life. We pray that we would indeed show you in the ways we speak and reveal you in the ways we act. And may your love go forth. And just thank you, God, for being here in this place. And we love you so much, Lord. And we pray that our actions and words would represent that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join in singing In Christ Alone. The words are on the screen for you.
Thank you.
What a powerful song. Thank you. In John 5:17, but Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." Jesus never had an off day. There were very few moments recorded when he was not surrounded by his disciples or the masses that followed him. He understood the responsibility that came with the role he had accepted, even with the frailty of human form. Likewise, Christians are never unseen. Someone is always watching, looking, seeing. The life we lead, the attitudes we wear, the way we spend our resources or handle a bad day bear witness to the Christ we proclaim. The secret in our success is that God is always at work in you. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that our actions would reflect who you are. I pray that we would trust you in every situation. We know that there will be bad days, there will be off days. But Father, we know that you are at work in us. And we pray that as we move forward, that we would move in a direction that you are leading us. So guide us this day, Father, as we give. May you open up the floodgates and allow us to give in a way that is overwhelming, that our needs here at this congregation would be met and the needs within our community would be met. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Amen.
What are these?
Bubbles.
Bubbles. And what do we do with bubbles?
We blow them.
And then what do we do with the bubble? You pop them. So if we pop them, what happens to the bubble?
They go.
They're gone.
but we can make more.
We can make more. That is one good thing about bubbles. I think
we run out.
Yeah, until we run out. I think the bubbles are a lot like people's lives today. You want to know how? No? What? Okay. I'm going to tell you anyways. A lot of people chase after bubbles. Do you guys chase after bubbles?
Yeah.
Yeah? But just like bubbles, sometimes they're just out of reach. So just like happiness, do bubbles make you happy?
Yeah.
I know they make me happy. So bubbles are just out of reach, and like when you pop them, poof, they're gone. And that's just like our happiness.
See? They run away.
Yeah, they run away sometimes.
Not always. Sometimes we try to pop them and they don't pop.
And sometimes they don't pop, yep. Sometimes our happiness bubble, it just pops.
Yeah.
Happy. What are some things that make people happy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, what makes me happy is helping animals.
Helping animals? How about money?
Helping my parents.
Helping your parents. Does money make people happy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Many people think money makes them happy, but it doesn't. What happens once you spend it all?
It's gone.
It's gone. How about food?
Yeah.
Does food make anybody happy?
I do.
Yeah?
It helps me grow strong.
It helps you grow strong?
Because we're thankful that we have food.
You're thankful you have food?
Because some countries don't have food.
What happens when you eat all the food?
It's gone.
It's gone.
Oh, we have to buy more.
Oh, then you gotta buy more?
Our money too.
Yep, and then you spend your money. So, after you eat all your food, are you still happy? But it's all gone. Are you still happy that it's all gone?
Yeah.
I'd be sad that my food's all gone. So, how about entertainment? Does entertainment make people happy?
No.
No? I think so. Many people think that laughing and having a good time makes them happy. What happens when the entertainment's over?
I don't know.
It's gone.
It's gone, just like those bubbles.
Yeah.
How about popularity? Hmm? Popularity, being popular. Does that make anybody happy? Yeah? So what happens the next day? Are you still popular some days?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you're not popular the next day. Then, what happens?
It's gone.
It's gone. And what does that leave you?
Nothing.
Nothing, and you're unhappy. Jesus knew that people often look for happiness in the wrong places. He even suggests that we might be happier if we're poor, hungry, crying, and disliked by others. Why would Jesus suggest such a thing?
Well, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are. You should always just be happy.
You should always just be happy?
Mm-hmm.
When we're poor, it may be easier for us to trust in God. Because then, do you think God supplies everything for you? Yeah? Well, for the most part? Okay. By God supplying everything for you, it makes you happy. So instead of us depending on ourselves, we can just depend on God and we're just happy. All right. Do you want to find happiness in life?
Yes.
Yes? Don't spend your time chasing those bubbles. Look to your Heavenly Father and you'll find happiness. Let's pray. Dear God, help us realize that we can never find happiness in the things that this world offers. You alone are the source to our true happiness. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
I invite you to stand if you're able and join us singing hymn number 544, When We Walk With the Lord. 544.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you in this hour searching, longing to hear from you. Father, you know what this day has already had in store. You know what the week behind us has led us to do and not to do, and the regrets we have, the guilt we feel, the sadness we bear. But Father, we're coming before you now. We're looking to our hope that we have in our salvation, and we're leaning on your everlasting arms, and we're putting our trust in you. And we're asking you, Lord God, to speak to us. And we know that the topic we're about to talk about is difficult for many. And we know that it affects all of us in one way or another. So we just pray that you would instill peace upon each of us. You would give us comfort, and you would give us understanding in this hour. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all experienced it. Perhaps a day, for a week, for months, or for even years. At some level, we all know what it feels like to be depressed, to be overcome by sadness, to experience the lack of joy. We've battled it. We've won, we've lost, but more often than not, we just keep fighting. We trust and we believe and we maintain faith that God will once and for all one day remove it. The pain of loss, the marriage blues, the difficult illness, the tragic events that plague our lives. We've felt the impact, yet we try and try to stay strong. We hang on to those victories in the past. We recall scriptures and events that have led us and drawn us closer to God. And one of those events is our baptism. I'll never forget that day in the creek, Penn's Creek, that I decided it was time. I believed the Lord was calling me to the waters. And I had believed for several years, but never took that step to be baptized. And when I entered those waters, I can remember as I went under and came back up three times, the difference I felt in my life. Do you see that immersion beneath the water as the brethren do it head forward? Three times in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That depth as we go beneath the waters reminds us of our old self. It reminds us of the death of our Lord. But then we rise up as Jesus rose on the third day and we experience something like never before. The newness. The washing away of who we were and the strength found in those waters to carry us on in Jesus' name. Today is one of those days that we celebrate, we rejoice, we give thanks for what God is doing in the life of Maya, Katie, Lauren, Enos, and Roxanne. They've seen the hand of God at work in their lives and they've reached the decision to be baptized in the waters that change everything. God has revealed himself in daily life. Some commented it was during their camp experiences, but the three youth especially said it was vacation Bible school and a dedicated teacher who made the word come to life. And they've all made that choice to follow Christ. They've decided that they believe in the resurrection. Yet, friends, they know, and we know, we're not always going to have it together. But there's something different. We can all feel it deep within. God is at work. Those sins that we never really cared about, they suddenly grieve us. They call for our repentance and we go before the Lord, sometimes on our knees, and ask for that forgiveness. They know, we know, that the future will have its challenges. There'll be days that we feel like giving up. There'll be days we feel like giving in. We'll fall prey to the pressures of the world, to school, and to life as a whole. But together, we'll press on in the name of Jesus Christ. And when those dark days come, we know that God hasn't left us without life. I'll admit this week I've tried going a different direction, but the Lord kept bringing me back to this topic. And I can't claim what I'm about to say for myself. It was actually written by the hands of a doctor. And she says this: the most recent time it happened, My children were clambering over a wooden playground structure reminiscent of a castle tucked into the woods. Their laughter spiraled skyward, mingling with towering oaks and pines, with lush foliage that shimmered gold and green against the summer blue. I breathed the scent of pine needles dried and baked in the sun, and I reveled in God's workmanship. Then, as dramatically as it had bloomed in my heart, the light vanished. Without warning, the rusted gears of a forgotten timepiece engaged, groaned, and clicked to a stop. A shadow descended, and like the emptying of a pool, all joy drained from within me. I glanced around the playground. My kids still squealed and hurtled down slides, but the jewel tones that moments before had inspired awe from me suddenly lost their imprint. I searched the treetops, and my vision cobwebbed over. Movements felt heavy and sluggish, as if I flailed beneath the water. A familiar despondency seeped into my bones. Oh no, I prayed, please, Lord, not again. And the writer goes on and talks about the power of depression. She says, as a clinician, I know that a genetic legacy predisposes me to clinical depression. I understand that neurotransmitters, the clouds of molecules that hover within the synapses of my brain, balance off kilter and disrupt the delicate translation of electricity into thought and feeling. I can recite mnemonics for you to diagnose the illness and describe how medications keep symptoms at bay. But these textbooks don't begin to capture the power of depression to drown us. While we all feel sad from time to time, depression drags its victims into a pervasive joylessness. Despair creeps into every moment, tarnishes the luster of things, and robs us of hope. The compulsion to cry lodges perpetually in the throat, but the relief of weeping never comes. During such times, dear friends, we require the message of God's love and forgiveness more desperately than ever. But if we're honest, there's times where we truly can't see God. As Christians, we delight in our salvation through Jesus' sacrifice, but depression will swallow our very capacity to delight in it. The gospel, it rings familiar, but we fear that grace has withered away and that God has withdrawn from our reach. We acknowledge the truth in Christ, but as a gloom hollow out our hearts, we cannot begin to feel it. We grapple in the dark, our hearts gilded with lead, and the enemy hisses in our ears, God doesn't love you. He's forgotten you. You're worthless. You don't matter. Nothing matters. And it's during such bleak seasons, when our minds twist and warp every good thing, that we must bind ourselves to the truth that persists beyond our perception of what truly is. And as we try to seek medical or counseling support, as we struggle to complete the most mundane tasks, we have little strength to pour through those scriptures. Words fall limply like withered leaves upon our hearts. But then, the book of Psalms speaks to us. Verse 20 of chapter 33, yet when all seems lost, our one hope arises from the God who reigns despite our understanding. When we can't see God any longer, we cling to the Bible and we rest in the assurance of God's steadfast love. When that misery threatens to choke us, the Psalms offer us light and air. We soon realize that we are not alone in the darkness. We know that those who know and love God labor through those seasons of despair. Even David, a man after God's own heart, whose youthful hand God steadied against a giant, cries out to the Lord from the depths, "I am utterly bowed down and prostrate." He laments in Psalm 38, "All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart." Friends, it's such imagery that the Word of God lends a voice to our suffering. When depression seizes us, we perceive our days like an evening shadow and feel that we wither away like grass. But when he was cut off from the Father on the cross, Christ even drew from the Psalms. Chapter 22, where David grieves, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me." It's these verses that echo the turmoil within us when darkness obscures our identity in Christ. As we fumble through the shadows in search of God, the scriptures assure us that even those dearest to him will struggle through seasons. Those who have known God and who have loved him have also drowned in anguish and cried out in anguish for him. When we drift in that darkness, the Word guides us to pray, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." Friends, there is assurance in God's character. As fear engulfs us, the Word teaches us to find solace in who God is. When God seems distant, we run to the past, to creation, to the last time that he showed up in a big way. And we remember the Exodus, and we remember God's covenant with Israel. Through these times, we see God's goodness. We see the evidence of light in Christ. Psalm 22, it's demonstrated in a great way. It's after his initial cry to God in verses 1 and 2, David's tone shifts from one of lamentation to faithfulness. Similarly, in Psalm 77, Asaph cries aloud to God and despairs, "Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion?" But then he looks to the past and he says, "I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old." You see, when Asaph couldn't perceive a way forward, when we can't perceive a way forward, we lean upon the memories of God's work in the past. He's always been faithful. It's in this same vein that we glimpse into our personal history with the Lord. I'd invite you to think right now, the last time, when has God truly showed up for you in your life? Rejoice in that, remember that, study that, so that when those difficult times come, you can find your hope. Psalm 71, which recalls a lifetime of dependence on God. "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb." David repeatedly invokes memories when God intervened on his behalf in times of trouble. You see, it's when darkness clutches us, we clasp to the memories of God's faithfulness. Those times that we have leaned on him when we had nowhere else to turn, and like a patient father, he answered us. We quickly learn that God indeed is sovereign. He's steadfast. He is loving. He is forgiving. He is faithful to all generations. He's a stronghold for the oppressed, our rock and our fortress, and he's our deliverer. Friends, we can look forward to God's promise. There is hope in our salvation. When darkness eclipses it, we wait for the Lord. Joy comes in the morning, as the song goes. We trade our sorrows, our pain, our sickness, and we lay it all down because we trust in the Lord. We're no longer bogged down in despair. We clasp to the promise that through the abundance of God's steadfast love in Christ, we will enter his house. But misery may steal our voice. It may cripple our limbs, but we hold on to that promise of a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord our God, Jesus Christ, is coming again. A time when darkness will no longer consume our hearts. We wash ourselves in the hope of that day when our hearts shall rejoice in our salvation. When with clear eyes and uplifted minds we will sing, "I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it." Friends, we know as those baptismal candidates enter those waters, it changes everything. It symbolizes their total trust and total reliance on the Lord. It's their commitment to live obedient to him. It expresses our unity with all the saints. Every person in every nation on earth who is a member of the body of Christ. But remember, it's not our baptism that saves us. We're saved through grace, by grace through faith, apart from works. We're baptized because the Lord commanded it. He said in our scripture today, Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We recognize that water baptism is for the believer. Our friends entering the water today have come to believe that we are sinners in need of salvation. We too believe that Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins once and for all. That he was buried and that he was resurrected to assure our place in heaven. So we know it's in times when we feel overwhelmed that it's our salvation that carries us through. We know there will be times where we'll want to experience our baptism in the water again. And symbolically, you can do so. Because there is rejoicing in what the water does to change everything. My prayer is that we would gather together around those waters this afternoon and recall our very own special day when we said, "Yes, Lord, I'm following you for the rest of my days. Would you pray with me?" God, I just thank you for what you are doing. We know that you are at work in the life of your saints. We know, Father, there's times we become overwhelmed. We face depression. But, Father, we know that you are good, and we're praying in this very moment that you would recall for us the times from the past where you had victory. And we ask you, Father, that you would forgive us for those times where we went astray. We return to you this day, Lord, and we seek you, and we know that we find you. And we make the commitment from now on and forevermore. We'll live for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise.
Go in peace, go in love, go in grace, knowing the victories that the Lord has given to you. May today be a brand new day that you commit to living anew for Him, feeling afresh that the Word of God is alive, that it's living and active. Go knowing the Lord goes with you. Amen.